You know, about 10 years ago, there's some people in this room that are part of my Saturday night group that were part of this, but my oldest son made a decision to go on a missions trip. And it wasn't like a two-week missions trip that a lot of us take out of the church. He decided he was going to get involved in this organization and go away for when he is initially leaving for 6 months, and he joined Youth with a Mission. And so that night, while we were there, my younger son Aaron was there with us and a lot of Ian's friends. We prayed a prayer over him, releasing him to go do God's work around the world. Well, never did we realize when we prayed that prayer that it would take Ian to where he's gone. So over the past 10 years, Ian has gone to over 30 countries. He's had the opportunity to literally minister to thousands of people. And he's trained up hundreds of other leaders and missionaries throughout that organization that in turn have gone into the world and really seen some miraculous things take place. You know, Bill Johnson, in one of his books that he wrote, he said that we should actually train up people in our lives so that our ceiling becomes their floor. And so what that means is that it's like in my life, a lot of people look at me as a leader in this church and they see different things in my life. But I'm going to tell you something. When you hear that spoken in the context of this ministry and what's going on, Ian has gone way above my ceiling in what he's been able to accomplish in his missionary work up to this point. So, as a matter of fact, I said in the first service, it's like he's just gone and taken the elevator, right? So he just went straight up. So I just want you to welcome a son of the house. He's been in this church ever since we've been in here for 17 years. I just like you to welcome him this morning. He's gonna bring a word for you this morning that I know you're gonna enjoy. So let's give Ian just a quick round of applause. Let's welcome him into Harvest this morning.
Good morning, guys. Oh, it's so good to be home. Just a pre-thing, if sometimes I stop, it's because I'm used to German translation or having translations. So if I'm like, don't think that I just blanked out. I'm just used to having a translator. But hey, before I dive into today, this morning, I want to talk briefly about Nepal. As a lot of you guys know, it's been kind of a wild couple of days in Nepal over the last three, four days. And I was just in Nepal a couple of months ago in the exact region where the earthquake has just hit. And we have many missionaries that are there. We send teams there all the time. And God is moving and doing really crazy things in Nepal right now. Revival is a reality in that nation. It's mostly a Hindu nation. But over the last 10 years, there's been over 1 million Christians now. And I was there in 2006, and it was a much different atmosphere, and I was just there in January. And you can just see the difference in the body of Christ and the amount of people that are following Jesus and worshiping him as the one true God. It was pretty amazing. And when I heard the news the other day, I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus, like, would you, whatever it takes now, would you bring whatever is needed for those people who are there and bring your light like it never has been in Nepal before? Nepal is one of the most beautiful nations in the world. I mean, the mountains are absolutely breathtaking. The people are warm, they're hospitable, they're kind. I mean, yeah, it is a beautiful place. And I just want to take a few moments, if you don't mind, if we could pray for them as a church, because there is a lot of suffering happening right now. There are people, I know I have friends with babies and kids and stuff there, and they're like, it's shaking, we're running our kids out of the house, but we're good. We're doing well. But there's a lot that's happened in Kathmandu and in the surrounding mountain ridge villages with little roads, dirt roads around them, that there needs to be a lot of help and a lot of prayer and a lot of action happening. I also found out I have a friend who's there that she's maybe in her early 20s. She did our first Revive training school, which I'll explain briefly. But she was trekking north of Kathmandu this week, and we haven't had contact with her yet. She was up there with her best friend, and no one, her family, no one has heard from her. And we're hoping within the next couple of days that she's going to be able to get back down to Kathmandu and contact us. But it is an intense situation. Nepal is a much different world. And God is moving and doing so much there. But I think it's so awesome that we as the body of Christ, through our intercession and our action, can make a difference in the country where we can do that. And every prayer that we pray was a prayer that was not prayed before we prayed it. For individuals, for men, women, children, all over the place. So if you don't mind, is that okay? If we just maybe stand up and just find two people around you, and let's pray for the people of Nepal, the nation of Nepal. Pray that, here's a couple of prayer points that you can think about, yeah? Pray for those who are suffering, who've lost loved ones. Thousands of people have died. Pray for them. Pray that medical aid, help, recovery efforts, planes, communication, all that happens so that people who need help get the help that they need and they get it quickly. And pray for the body of Christ that's there, that this is a time, I don't know what could happen through this, but that God's light would shine so bright through them. And if you could also pray for my friend Alicia and her friend Amber, that they would get back to Kathmandu and be able to contact their family quickly, safely. Is that good? Let's just take a couple minutes and I'll wrap it up, but let's just pray and cry out for Nepal in this time they're going through. Go for it. And don't be afraid to pray with your voice out loud. Yeah, if anyone in leadership or would like to pray out just on behalf of the whole church for the nation of Nepal, please feel free to do so out loud. Or anyone, maybe somebody has a prayer just about on their behalf. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for the nation of Nepal. Lord, let your light and your love shine in that nation like it never has before. Thank you for all that you are doing in this nation, God, and I pray that you'd be with every person that's broken, every broken heart, every life, every person that's suffering. Lord, no matter what, God, I just pray that your kingdom would come and that Nepal would look at, I don't even know what to say, God. But Lord, would you do what you do? And would you move how you want to move? And would you bring whatever you want to bring and send people that you're calling to send to go and to be your hands and feet in this time? Bless that nation, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, thank you guys for praying. I just felt that earlier this morning that, you know, man, Nepal is so on God's heart. You know, the people there, and just having freshly been there, I was on a bus ride just 2 months ago from Kathmandu to Pokhara, which is right near where the epicenter of the earthquake was. And I just thought to myself, man, you know, Lord, whatever it takes, bring the people. Bring whatever it is that these people can begin to move forward and recover. And yeah, that, love what God's doing there. Anyways, I'm really happy to be home. I've been traveling a lot. I haven't been here for about a year and a half almost, which is too long for me. Normally, I come home every year on the year, but I had some stuff happening just in some different nations with our teams this year that I'm going to share a little bit about with you. But I'm excited to tell you that God is doing amazing things in the nations. And also, just first want to say thank you, because there is no way. Dad was up here, and he's like, and 10 years ago, you know, and I was like, there's no way the last 10 years would have happened if I didn't have you guys behind my back. Just with prayer and financial support and the random Facebook messages and the emails and all of these things. Everything that I share today and every testimony that you hear, please know that it's us together. Because there's no way missionaries can do what we do without the support of the church. And in all those ways. So I just want to say first, thank you. There's many of you that have given, that have prayed, that I don't even know anything about. And just from the bottom of my heart, know that I'm so grateful. And that together as a Harvest family, we are impacting nations. And we are seeing people encounter Jesus. And like the realness of it, not some fake religious thing. Really encountering God and really having their lives changed and really making a difference. Really making a difference and really bringing hope in a world where that's not as spoken. So I just want to encourage you with that. But before I do, I just want to show a quick video. It's a really super short video, but for those of you who are wondering, so I don't have to explain a whole lot of YWAM, it just shows briefly what YWAM is so you can see some context of what I do.
So what is Youth of the Mission? Youth of the Mission, or YWAM, is a global movement of Christians dedicated to knowing God and making God known. YWAM started in 1960 as a way to get young people involved in missions. We still do that today, but we're involved in every kind of outreach, every kind of ministry that you could imagine. We currently have over 18,000 staff with locations in over 180 countries. YWAM's many ministries fit into three major categories: evangelism, training, and mercy ministries. We do evangelism because we believe that everyone in the world has the right to hear the message of Jesus. We do training to equip people to use their unique calling to do that. And everyone in Youth of the Mission does an intensive half-year discipleship course called the Discipleship Training School. And they can continue in their training in our University of the Nations, which has specialized training courses. Our third focus is Mercy Ministries, where our staff are giving hope to the poor, sick, and those suffering from injustice. YWAM has a place for everyone and endless opportunities. You can find out more about what we're doing and ways to get involved at our website.
I told you it was short. But that's a little bit about why I'm in what I'm doing. As my dad said, I don't know a lot of you. There's a lot of new faces. But we've been coming to Harvest since 1997. And in 2005, I joined YWAM. I was in TCC at the time and had some thoughts and things I wanted to do for the future. But a couple of my friends were like, Ian, you should really go and try this thing called YWAM. And I was like, okay, not sure what that is. But they're like, yeah, go to missions and do these things. And I was like, okay, I'll try that. I had always wanted to go to the Philippines. Shout out to all my Filipinos in the house. And just do a lot of things like that. And I ended up going in 2005 to Honolulu, Hawaii. And I have never been the same since. I went there. I had a pretty intense encounter with God. Had such crazy, like, my mind was blown by who Jesus is. And I went to India. They were like, you're going to India. And I was like, I have never been to India before in my life. And I thought of like elephants and loincloths and just random stuff you think about, you know, when you hear that stuff. And I was like, I'm going where and we're doing what? And I went there and It blew my mind. I had no idea that the world was so different, that culture is going to be so different, that life was so different. And I had never in my life seen, my life up until that time, how light was so crazy bright in darkness. And how just the name of Jesus and preaching the simple gospel and going and loving people like crazy in whatever ways we can love them really changes and impacts people's lives. And I remember I was 20 at the time, and I just thought to myself, I was like, I don't know if I can do anything else. We saw hundreds, like this is back then, I'll give you some current stuff, but back then we were going to villages and hundreds of Hindus were giving their lives to Jesus. You know, and they weren't just giving their lives to Jesus, they were like going to churches and being discipled and actually like going into missions as well. And I just thought to myself, I was like, whoa. And then we would see people get healed, and I was like, this is insane. You know, I only ever heard of this stuff in like Acts chapter 19 or, you know, just different things. And people were getting healed of things and getting so much freedom. And I knew in my heart that there was more to my life than what I had been seeing. And there was more that I actually wanted than I knew I wanted. And there was more to my identity and who God called me to be than I could have ever imagined. And my brain still gets blown to this day of who God is. But I did that, and I came back for a bit, and I felt like the Lord was like, Ian, go into the nations and bring the gospel and love people like crazy. And I'm like, God, I don't really know how to, but I'm going to. And I joined staff in 2006, and since then have been, I mean, a lot of it's Europe as well, Europe and Asia, but been able to go to over 30 nations and work with young people and see our generation, everyone who's alive right now, coming and getting trained, having such encounters with the real living God, actually changing their lives, really believing what they believe, and going and taking it to Hong Kong, and taking it to India, and taking it to Morocco, and taking it to New Zealand, and bringing it back here to the States. I mean, man, like, God is doing so much in the nations. But anyways, I did that in 2005 and 2006, and just since that time, I was in Hawaii for a couple of years, focusing a lot on the Philippines and Nepal and India. And about 3 years ago, I felt like I was supposed to go to Germany. I can't believe it's been 3 years. But 3 years ago, things started to change, and I felt like the Lord was saying, go to Herrnhut, Germany. And I was like, when I first heard the word Herrnhut, I thought it was Africa or something. I was like, oh, Africa or something insane I've never been to before. And they're like, oh, it's Germany. And I was like, it's Germany, cool. Never been there, had no grid for Europe other than movies or things that I had seen. But I got kind of picked up in this, you know, tornado in a, not literally, but taken to Europe and started working with a discipleship training school where we focus on revival and awakening in Europe and in the 1040 window. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Herrnhut, Germany, most of you probably are not, it is a little bitty village that looks like something from Beauty and the Beast in the middle of eastern Germany on the border of Poland and Czech Republic. And our YWAM base is in a little water castle through the woods. And we walk 30 minutes by this river every day to go and do our, just to train and to just do all the stuff that we're doing. But it's a little village, and it has really rich history that I had no idea about before I went there. But if any of you have ever heard of the Moravians, some of you who study history or familiar, been around for a while, might know that. But it was the place where there was a bunch of refugees from modern-day Czech Republic that went into Germany. And there was this guy named Count Zinzendorf, who was a Christian, who took all of these refugees in that were escaping persecution and created this wild little Christian community of people and started to build. And was like, hey, we want Jesus Christ to be the center. We want him to be the main thing, and we want to live from that place. And that started about 100 to 120 years of day and night worship and prayer. And it happened every day. Like, I mean, not one person for 100 years, but they were doing it as a community for, what a calling, for 120 years. And out of that birthed what we know as the modern day like missions move, or modern day missions movements, which affected the Wesleys, all kinds of stuff that have influenced actually how we are today. And out of the prayer and worship movement they had, the people were willing. They were like, I'm willing to sell myself into slavery for the sake of the gospel. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'll pack my stuff in my coffin and go. You know, that's how crazy they were. They so believed and loved Jesus wholeheartedly with everything they were. And they're like, we'll go to the hardest and darkest places where no one else will go. And we'll go and we'll declare who Jesus is. And they did. And it changed the world. The Moravians sent missionaries all around the world. You'll still see Moravian churches around to this day, modern day Moravian churches. But that's a bit of the heritage of where I'm living right now. And I was like, man, what is this place like? 100 years of like prayer and worship. You know, it was like my dreams are insane. It was just so cool. But one thing that we're doing now is we're seeing, so Herrnhut sent people to the nations. And it's like now all the nations are coming back to Herrnhut to be trained and to be sent into missions and go into all the nations. And so we have, as you see in the video about the training schools, I work with training. And I work with equipping our generation to be able to bring the gospel in many different forms to places in the world that most people would dare not go to. And we're seeing, this last school that we had was one of our biggest ones. We have a few hundred in our schools, but we had 75 students in this last training school from 25 different nations. We had many from Germany, which I was super stoked about. I love Germans. We had people from Indonesia. We had people from Africa, all over Asia. People from America, Canada, you name it, Brazil. People were coming, and they were actually really hungry and wanting more of God and wanting to bring the gospel to the nations. And they were open. And during the first 2 months of our school, God encountered us like crazy. I mean, people were going deep in character, deep in knowing who they were, breaking through, having freedom in their lives, like, you know, actually getting understanding of what the gospel is. And we trained them, and we sent them to Morocco, India, Nepal, Hong Kong, Thailand, Cambodia, Indonesia. I mean, so many different places. And I had the privilege of going to many of those places this year and doing ministry alongside of them. And I was so blown away because the hearts of our generation, like, man, people really want raw God and who God says he is and what the Bible says, not some religious way of doing things. People are encountering the love of Jesus and bringing that fire, that love of Jesus to the nations. And we do it a lot of ways. We do it, you know, people, we go and we serve. We work in orphanages. We work with prostitutes. We work with, I mean, you name it, we probably do it, you know. But we're seeing people, you know, people like us, okay. I'm not this extra special person. I'm Ian, and I grew up here, and I'm living my life. You know, I have problems and issues too. But we're like, hey, you know what? If the Bible is true, if the gospel really is what I say every day it is, Jesus loves you, God is good. If I really believe that in my heart, what's the overflow of that? You know, and I've been so challenged with that. And in our training schools, we've been like, man, God, take us deeper. We don't want this like thing, this just mediocre thing, but we want to see if the gospel is real and the Bible is what it says it is, that Jesus Christ died and rose again, then we actually can change the world. And I've been blown away testimony after testimony of what God is doing through 18-year-olds, through 20-year-olds, through 71-year-olds. In the nations. We had a married couple recently. He was 71, she was 29. You know, and they're like, we want to go into missions. Cool. Let's go for it. You know, people of every place are, it's like, I want to go. I've encountered the love of God. I want to take this, I want to take it to the nations. And you know what? Half the time, you guys, we don't know what we're doing. You know, we're not dressed up in suits. We're not like going and knocking on every door. You know, we're out there. We're like, okay, God, what do you want to do in this nation? What do you want to do with the children? What do you want to do in this red light district? What do you want to do with these drug lords? What do you want to do with all these things? What does your kingdom look like here? And we're asking ourselves these questions, and we're seeing time and time again, God wants to move and change people's lives more than we could ever want to. Yeah? God wants to see people encounter his love and actually really be free in their life more than I ever could conjure up something in me to want to see them free. God actually wants to see people know him and love him and have relationship with him more than I ever could try to convince myself that that's what they should do. God is committed. He wants, I mean, he sent his only son to die and rise again. Oh my gosh. Because he loved the world so much, he'd rather die than live without us. And he loves every single person in every single nation of this earth, even the ones that we're fearing. He loves them with a wild love that none of us in this room, God, help me understand that he loves so much. And we're seeing that. And I was blown away in this training school that I was leading. We had people from Albania and from Colombia and radical people. I was learning so much from them. They're like, Ian, when I go to Hong Kong, I'm just going to ask people if I could tell them about Jesus. I'm like, go for it, you know? And we were seeing testimony after testimony. One of the girls from Colombia, her name is Lorena, she was, her team was amazing. They were like, some days they were doing some practical ministry, and then they're like, on some days we just want to go out to the streets and talk to whoever. And this girl from Colombia goes up to, she sees a group of Muslim women on this bridge in Hong Kong. And she goes up and she starts talking with them. And within a matter of time, like all six of them gave their lives to Jesus. And it wasn't because she was really polished or had it all together. She just said, I'm going to go and I'm going to share what's on my heart. Jesus is in my heart and he's hope, he's freedom. He's all of these things and I actually believe that and I'm going to tell them that. These people were in tears. You know, and I'm like, man, that's awesome, you know? But, and then time and time again, you know, people going, talking to university students, sharing, people giving their lives to Jesus from all kinds of different backgrounds, planting seeds, talking to people that had never heard the name of Jesus before. That's actually real. Yeah? I know in the States and in Europe, we can have like our churches on every corner. There's places in the world that you say the name of the Jesus, like, what's that? You know, is that food or something, you know? There's people that have no idea. And when they hear for the first time, it's like their light comes in their eyes. There's something that stirs in people. When we were in Nepal, our team would, when you're a big group of foreigners, you can attract attention in any nation you go to that people look different than you. So the team just got up in a marketplace and they're like, hey, we feel like we're just supposed to share the love of Jesus and share the gospel to this place. And they're like, so one of the guys got up just like this on the thing, and of course, like 500 Nepali people come around, and he just starts sharing the love of Jesus with them. 25-year-old guy from Australia. He was a school teacher. He just gets up in front of all these people and starts sharing his faith. Another moment, they're like, we just want to pray for the sick. We're just going to go and do it. Why not? So they go out on the streets of Kathmandu, and they start praying for the sick, and within like 5 minutes, 10 or 11 people were healed on the spot. I mean, the team was blown away too. They're like, oh my gosh, it's happening. God's moving, you know? You know, sometimes people get pictures of missionaries. We're like, in the power of God and her, you know, but no, it's like, we're all like, yeah, God, of course you want to heal the sick. Like way more than I want to, you do it. And I mean, goodness gracious, he loves doing that. And all it took was people saying yes. And actually, hey, I believe this. What does it look like in my life to live it? And so Nepal, they saw so many people meet Jesus. They did tons of stuff. India, two of our students, one guy from Brazil named Andre and then a girl from California, they were going to villages. And in India, we come across a lot of deaf people, a lot of people blind, lots of different sicknesses. And so it's not like they just bring them up by the herds, you know, and you're praying for everyone. And one of the guys was like, I just feel like I'm supposed to put my fingers in her ears. And he's like, it's kind of weird, but I'm just going to do it, you know? And so he puts his fingers in this person's ear and prays, and the person's ears open up. And then the same thing, somebody else is like, well, I'm going to go pray for this deaf person. And two deaf people that day had gotten healed. Or in that time frame had gotten healed. And then one of our, I'm just blasting you with some testimonies. Is that okay? In July, I took my staff team. I take them out for training to a nation before we actually do a school to give them hands-on stuff. And we went to India, and we were in the south. And one of my young German gals on staff, we were just praying to tons of people. I mean, the sick were just coming and coming and coming. And we're praying and praying and praying, and we're sweating and we're sweating and we're sweating and we're tired, and we're just going for it. And Mika is her name, and she was praying for this lady who had really big cataracts. And her eyes, like the white, was like so visible. And she prayed, and everyone saw it. The woman's white disappeared. Yeah. What was super cool about it was the woman was like, thank you. and the team was freaking out, and more than the people were like, they're like, oh, thank you, that's great. And I'm like, it's Jesus. And it's like, thank you so much, you know? And we're all like, what? Did you just see that? Did you just see that white vanish? And we're all like, yes. And I'm like, and we're all stunned, but God, and God's moving. You know, a whole Hindu family of 9 people gave their lives to Jesus when some of our team prayed and got set free from spiritual strongholds in their life. Two of the daughters in their team, some stuff happened. They got set free. The mother, who is Hindu, said they had these black bands and stuff on them. Started without anybody telling her. We preached the gospel to them. She cut these things off of her, cut them off of her kids, said, we will never follow these again. We're following Jesus. And what was really significant was the dad was there, and that's really important in their society that the man is there. The man was there, and they said, our family is choosing to follow Jesus. They saw the power of God. They saw the love of God. I have these girls on my team. They're like love bombs, you know? I mean, they're just like, oh, the children, and oh, you know? And I'm just like, yeah, okay, cool, yeah, let's do it, you know? And they're like sharing. They're like, God loves you. And then they're sharing the heart of gospel from like beginning to the end, and this whole family hears it, and it's like, boom, you know? And I'm like, man, God, you love India. You love the nations. Like, this is a village in the middle of nowhere, you know, in my mind. And you are stirring hearts. You're drawing hearts to you, that they would know you. In Morocco, Morocco is an Islamic country, and so it's a bit different when you do ministry there. And there was a tourist who was in Morocco, and he was traveling with the team, and he liked the team so much. He wasn't a Christian. He just really liked the team. It was a group of foreigners traveling on trains going through this country. And so they're preaching the gospel. So he's not a Christian. He starts preaching the gospel with them because it was just such a cool thing to do. And then he ends up giving his life to Jesus after that. And he wasn't even a Christian. He's like, I like these people. I'm going to preach the gospel. And you know, and the whole team, I was blown away at what's happening. I mean, a girl in a red light, we send teams many times to certain locations just to follow up and that we're not just popcorning a lot of things. And so Thailand is the nation that we send teams to repeatedly. And one of the ministries there is red light ministry. They go into the brothels. They go into the places where there's lots of prostitution. And in this last outreach, a girl who had been ministered to by a previous team was like, she was so moved by what happened last time. Our team went there this time, and she gave her life to Jesus. She said, I'm choosing to leave prostitution, and I'm going to choose to follow Jesus, whatever that means. And then she came out of prostitution. She came out of the red light district, and she went into this place. She's being discipled. She has a job, and she's no longer living that life anymore. She made that decision herself. You know, and our teams are going into places that are hard and dark, places that are like, what the heck am I doing here? But they're seeing the light and the love of God change people's lives more than, I mean, like the testimonies are getting only like more intense as time goes on, I feel like. As the years are going by, people in our generation who are like, I really believe what I believe. And I want to share it. And I believe the gospel is what it says it is. That if Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness and he's living in me, I'm going to shine in the darkness. And I may not know how to, but I'll do what I know how to do. And that's love. And it's this. And that's that. And 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, people are changing people's lives. Sometimes it's really easy to get so caught up in, oh my gosh, the nations and the media. And it's so intense and there's so much fear. And sometimes that can demonize people in our minds. But God loves people. He loves people in places in the world that many of us would be like, huh? Me too. I'm like, huh? He loves people everywhere, all the time, radically, wildly, so much more than you or I could ever want to or desire. He does. And people are going into these places in Thailand, in Amsterdam. I was just in Amsterdam in the red light district. People are going and praying and building relationship and saying, Jesus is real. He's alive. And it's not just something where you say you believe, but it actually changes your life. It's actually real. And he has every ounce of power to completely set you free from the strongholds, the shame, the addictions, the drug abuse, the things that have hurt you, the people that all those things. Jesus is good news and hope for the nations. Those are just a few of the testimonies. Is there anything else that I could share that's short? I mean, just know, as a report back to you guys, people are giving their lives to Jesus. Yeah? And it's not just like they're coming up and just saying, they're actually committing. When someone who is a Muslim or a Hindu, it's a whole different ballgame when they say yes to Jesus. Yeah? A whole different ballgame. You know, the reports coming out of Syria and Jordan, we have a team that's getting ready to go and work with Syrian refugees in Jordan, that people are giving their lives to Jesus. People are getting healed. People actually are at a place where, like, we need Jesus and we want Jesus. People are, this is Muslims, are saying, we're having dreams of a man named Jesus. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, of course. You know, people are having dreams of a man named Jesus, and they're walking into places where our teams are worshiping, and they're like, can you please tell me, like, what I'm dreaming about? And we're like, whoa, yeah. You know, like, it's anything is possible. Anything is possible when we walk in the identity and the love of God, that we don't have to be afraid. And I'm seeing myself and lots of people that are coming. And you know, we have our insecurities. We have our fears. We have our struggles. We have our doubt. We have the things that we're walking through. But we don't have to have it all together. We don't have to have our ducks in a row. Well, I've dealt with this sin issue, and I've dealt with this sin issue. And when I get this problem figured out, I'll finally be able to do something like this. No, it's like, God, here I am. Use me. Send me. God, here am I. Send me. Oh, God is calling our generation onto a journey with him to know his heart, to know his love that goes beyond our brains. It says in Ephesians 1, Paul's talking to the Ephesians. I'll read this in a moment. But he says, I pray that the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know you better. And I love that because it's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's not just the mind, but it's the heart. To know Jesus better. And I'm seeing people, this is happening. This is a reality. Revival is reality. But God is moving. He's shaking the nations. And the gospel is good news of hope. And that's one thing I felt like to hit this morning for us. I feel like God has spoken over us as the body of Christ that we carry hope always. And at the same time, Harvest Assembly, our house is a house of hope. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose again. Not because we have the coolest things happening or we all look the best in the world. Excuse me for just a moment. But Jesus Christ died and rose again because the God of the universe would rather die than live without you. He loved you so much. He loved us so much. He loves the nations so much that he would rather die on a cross than spend another moment without us. And he made that way for us to have eternity with him and to actually live life with him in freedom and in hope and in victory. That is the heart of the gospel. Jesus rose again. And that gives us life and freedom. And that's the message that we're bringing to the nations. It's not, please figure all your crap out. Sorry. I'm used to teaching in your... Sorry. Please figure all of your stuff out. Please get all of your stuff together. Please deal with your sin issues before you do this. It's like, no, let's look at Jesus and let's worship him and let's lay our lives down for him because why would we want to do anything else? If the gospel really is good news, if I really say that Jesus died and rose again and believe that, what does that actually reflect in my life? What can that? What is possible? Anything is possible. And I just want to read Ephesians 1 to you, and I'm going to kind of blast through it. But if you could turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 1. We don't have to put bells and whistles on Jesus. We don't have to put Christmas lights to make him look better than what he already is. I'm going to read this to you. I'm reading in the NIV. Feel free to follow along with me. But I just want to like challenge you, soak up the words of this for a moment. Soak up the words of this for a moment and let it speak to you. This is Paul talking to the Ephesian church. Sorry, let me get to Ephesians. I'm in Philippians. That is good. You guys ready? Feel free to read along or you can close your eyes. Just don't pass out. All right. So Ephesians 3, chapter 1. I'm going to read a lot of the passage, okay? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Whoa. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance, I love this, to his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Verse 7, oh, this is so good. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, woo, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Verse 11. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Let's go down to verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Ooh. Yeah. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, That power is the same as the mighty strength, verse 20, he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Far, I love this, guys. I wish I could draw a picture for you of like the heavenly realms. And it says, it's not just like in the midst of it. Jesus is not just like in the midst of it trying to figure stuff out. It says he's seated far, like far above everything. Principalities, powers. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. In these terms in the Greek, he's talking about the natural and the supernatural. And every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come, verse 22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over the church. I love verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That is who Jesus is. And that is who we are because of who Jesus is. If we know who God is and we grow in who God is, we see who we are because of who he is, and we're never the same. When you see who Jesus is, you see more of your identity. And when you know what your identity is, you'll recognize you actually have authority to do things. It says that Jesus, I want to go to another verse. Can you go with me? I love it. I love Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you with me? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, I love this, verse 5, made us alive with Christ. Even when we are dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, in order that the ages to come, he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He makes us alive. Awakening, revival. Jesus makes us alive. I don't even know what to say. Just anything. Jesus makes us alive. Not because he's a cool person to follow and a good teacher or some prophet that people say, but because he rose again. That price alone is worthy a lifetime of worship, whether God never gave us another penny. He died and rose again. And because he rose again, that means something. It means that he's far above governments, spiritual forces, the things that we fear the most in this world. God is above it all. But it doesn't say God is way up there and you're down here. I hope you get it all figured out. It doesn't say that. It says he made us alive. I could like sing to that. That he made us alive. And he didn't just make us alive and say, okay, try to figure it out. He said he made us alive and he seated us with him in heavenly places. And he's far above all of those things. Far above all those things. And my friends, that is a message of hope that we bring to the world. And I was so challenged recently when I was talking with some of my students. I was like, what does it mean that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places? Cool, some like really cool way of saying things, and yeah, we've got identity, authority, but what does it actually mean in my life? That Jesus Christ died and rose again, he's seated in heavenly places, and he's not just seated there, he's given me a whole new identity. He's given me freedom, I'm actually seated there with him, and my whole perspective can be completely changed. Because we're no longer, if we grow in this and we see it, we're no longer realize we're stuck in the fears of what media and things in society say we need to fear and be a part of. But we can choose to see from the perspective of heaven and choose to see with the perspective of hope that the gospel brings. Are you with me? We are seated with him in the heavenly places. That is not something Ian just came up with. That's something that's said in Ephesians. He is the light of all mankind. He shines bright in the darkness. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He sees the brokenhearted healed. He sees those who've been victimized healed. God does anything and everything, and he is the light and healing and freedom of this world. And it is the best news that Muslims will ever hear. It is the best news that Hindus will ever hear. It is the best news that atheists will ever hear, is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And it's not, I believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I hope he does. No, it's like it actually changes your life. People know the difference when someone walks around just saying something that they were told their whole life growing up, as opposed to somebody who actually believes what they're saying. The gospel is the best news. It says God is love, and God is love. God is joy. God is peace. Oh, his spirit gives us patience, long-suffering. It gives us the ability to, I'm going to dive into this for a moment. It gives us the ability to see from being seated in heavenly places. Ian, what do you mean by that? It means that I don't have to agree with the enemy. It means I don't have to stay afraid. I don't have to fear the nations. I don't have to be afraid of people groups. I don't have to tremble at the thought of terrible things happening, even though there are terrible things happening. Hear me. Yeah. I don't have to come under that. But I can choose. Okay, this is the thing with identity, is you can talk about identity all you want to. You can say, I have identity. You can do that all day long till you're blue in the face. But until you actually live that identity, what does it mean to you? I could say, I'm seated in heavenly places all day long, but if I don't live my life in that way, what am I doing? I'm settling for something second best than what Jesus rose again for. But Jesus died and rose again, that you don't have to be afraid and live in fear. You don't have to be afraid of demons. You don't have to be afraid of terrorists. You don't have to be afraid of the media and the things that the world puts over you. You don't have to agree with what the enemy speaks over people, groups, and nations. Jesus loves the nations. Take it from someone who, I've been to quite a few, and I've been wrestling with a lot of this stuff. Please don't think I'm just up here blowing steam. I have wrestled with questions. And I've walked in Muslim societies. I've walked in Hindu societies. I've walked in places, and people are people. There's men, there's women, there's children. There's issues, there's good things, there's bad things. But God loves people so much that he is the hope for every single person on this planet. And if I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, Lord, what does it look like to view this world as if I'm seated with you in heavenly places? What do you see? It's written that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. He does not give fear. We have a fear of the Lord, but we do not have to be afraid. There's a difference. We do not have to be afraid. And I can choose to look and view situations and say, those people should all be murdered and killed. And that, and these are things I'm being just honest with you with, okay? With, I wrestle with. These people are this, these people are that. And it's almost like sometimes I have, Ian, what do you think I think? And I'm like, what do you think? I love them. I hate what's happening, but I love them. But do you hear my heart? What I'm saying is we have a choice as the body of Christ to succumb to fear and doubts and insecurities. We have a choice because we have been given identity through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to choose to say, I will rise above these fears. I will rise above this insecurities and actually be free to live as God called me to live with love in my eyes and fire in my heart. I don't have to be afraid. And I've had moments where I've walked through certain places and I'm like, Jesus, take the wheel. But I don't have to be afraid. I can choose to be afraid. I can choose to be negative. I can choose to be cynical. I can choose to speak death. I can choose to speak gossip over people, groups, and nations and places. Or I can speak what I believe Jesus would speak. There's a lot of bad reports coming out of the Middle East, but the good reports I'm hearing are trumping a lot of things. Of people giving their lives to Jesus, getting healed, saved. You don't hear a lot of those, but they're happening. Things that need to be shaken are going to be shaken. The gospel is moving in the Middle East far more than any of us ever imagined. In China, all over the place is shaking. What news will you choose to fill our minds? Me too, Ian. What will we choose to fill our minds with? If we really believe the gospel is good news, what does that mean? It means that I don't have to settle for a second best thing when Jesus died, that I can speak life, I can speak hope. I may not know how to do something in a certain situation, but I'm going to speak life and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to bless and I'm going to strengthen. And I don't have to be afraid of people groups. I don't have to be afraid. We, you know, you guys, I have had to think about things. Okay, if I go to these nations, this is a reality I need to think about. But I don't have to be afraid. There may not be this coming in. This may not happen. This may not do this. God, you said go. I don't have to be afraid. The gospel is a gospel of hope. And it transforms the hearts of those we think are the hardest. I've had people coming into my training schools, people who have had crazy history with drugs, gangs, things like that. They choose to say yes to Jesus. There is a journey ahead of them that they walk through, but they say yes and they go for it. God changes their lives, and they are now the ones who are bringing so much of Jesus to the nations. But I just want to throw that out to you is we have a gospel of hope, and we know the gospel of hope by remembering that Jesus Christ is the best news the world has ever known and will ever know. And there's some of you in this room that have been, you say, oh, Ian, I struggle with doubt. I want to challenge you to doubt your doubts. The core of everything we believe is a choice of faith. And everything comes from faith. Yeah? Everything comes from faith. And we're in this world, we wrestle and we deal with things, but it's a choice to choose to stay in something, and it's a choice to choose to move forward. And we as the body of Christ, gone are the days where we just settle for passivity and cynicism and things that do not bring life or speak life into this world. But we are going to the nations and we're saying, God loves you. Yes, there is a lot going on, but man, let's keep the main thing the main thing. So many people are so quick to focus on apocalypses and second comings that they don't even talk about the first coming. The beauty and the power and the love of the gospel that actually changes lives and hearts, the hardest of hearts. Do we bring messages of gloom and doom, or do we bring messages of hope or life? Hope and life. I believe Jesus sees that too. And that he speaks identity. That he calls Gideons out of hiding. That he calls nations to take their place. That he calls men and women who people would say, that person would never give their life to Jesus. That person will, that person's in sorrow. No, anything is possible. Anything. But the core of who we are is Jesus. Because Ephesians 1 says it is in him, through him, and by him that we can do anything. And that is a beautiful thing. It's joy that we have no matter how we're feeling. And one thing I've been challenged with, and I know my generation is challenged with, is we wrestle with the whole thing of our feelings and faith. And I have been provoked and challenged to say, Lord, I want to put my faith first and my feelings second. Because I've got a lot of feelings. How many of you have a lot of feelings? I've got a lot of feelings. And there's a lot of stuff that I deal with. But I have a choice. Why do I have a choice? Jesus died and rose again. I can actually choose to rise above things. And I can choose. Excuse me for just a moment. To have faith in my life, no matter how I'm feeling. I had chickenpox a few weeks ago. Random. Really random at 30 years old to have chickenpox. Has anybody else ever had chickenpox at 30? No? Okay. I woke up one morning. I was getting on a flight to Albania, and I looked at my face, and I was like, I look like my face was at war. It was so intense. You know? But I wasn't feeling really good that day. Life happens, and we all know it. We have a choice to put our faith first or our feelings first. And I want to put it out there to us is may we not be a generation of people that are driven by how we're feeling today. God doesn't love me today. I don't really feel the love of God today. I hear you, okay? But the word of God is truth. And we choose to line our hearts up with truth. And that gives us faith to be able to overcome any obstacle that comes before us. God's calling us to be a generation that puts faith first. Some of you in this room, I had this impression during worship. Some of you, God is calling you to the nations. And some of your hearts just started beating. Some of you, I don't know when or how, but God is calling some of you to go to places. If you let your feelings run you, you won't go. But if you run by faith, who knows where you'll end up? And who knows what you'll do? And who knows who you'll pray for and who you'll see? Doubt your doubts. Faith kills unbelief. And we are a generation, we are the body of Christ that's seated with him in heavenly places far above. And I'm seeing it. You can't look at my face and say, Ian, you're not telling the truth. No, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing India. I'm seeing Nepal. I'm seeing Hong Kong. I'm seeing people's lives, men and women and children, encounter God, and actually things are happening. But may we see the nations. Okay, I'm going to go back to this point. May we look at the nations, and may we pray. Pray for the nations. Pray for Nepal. Pray for Syria. Pray for Europe. Pray. Because every prayer prayed was a prayer not prayed before you prayed it. Pray. But don't let what the world and the media and what things that the enemy could be speaking and declaring over nations and people groups stop you from going. And don't let it stop you from praying. And don't let it stop you from loving. Fear will breed passivity in your life and you will not move. But faith will take you places that you never dreamed of. And we have the gift and the ability to choose to be men and women of faith. And God gives us gifts, you guys. He's a good father who gives good gifts to his children. And sometimes we run from them. Yeah? It's like, God's a good father and gives gifts to my children. He's like, hey, I give you this and I want to give you this. And it's like God's trying to wrap a blanket around us of these things. But we're just kind of like, no, God, no, 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 don't want that, God, no, no. But God's like, no, let me wrap this around you. Let me give you a heart for a nation. Let me build the things in your life. I don't know whether it's your workplace or in your community or whatever it is. God is so good to us that he lavishes things on us. And he brings us hope. And I feel like there's some of you in this room, you're like, well, I feel like I've lost my hope. And I want to encourage you to remember who Jesus is. And to take it back to the simplicity of the gospel. It says, like it said in Ephesians 2, he makes us alive. He makes us alive. And I believe God is wanting to bring freedom, break chains. Why? Because why would you want anything that keeps you from walking in who God made you to be? He died and he rose again. And that has changed our lives. It's going to change some of yours in a really radical way quite soon. But it's what we're bringing to the nations. What message of hope are we going to portray to the nations? And get ready, because the doom is coming. Turn or burn. I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just saying I've heard some of these things in a way that people are just like, well, I don't want what you're talking about. I'm like, do you hear my heart in that? I'm not trying to be disrespectful, forgive me. But what message are we bringing? Do you focus more on the negative? The cynicism? Do you let fears control what comes out of your mouth? Or do you let the identity that Jesus Christ rose again to give you overflow out of you? To speak life. And you know, this could be quite practical. It could be in your family. Do you speak life over your family? Do you speak life over your church? Do you live as if you are seated with Christ in heavenly places? Or do you live as if you are just trying to figure stuff out on the earth? He gives us the ability to walk through whatever hardship we walk through, whatever pain we go through. And there is a lot of pain. I've seen things this year. I'm still processing. Yeah. But God is the hope, regardless. And he brings hope. And you may not know how to always do it, but how will you posture yourself? Will you be a man or a woman of hope? Not just, well, hope. No. Like, do you realize that every single one of you that have said yes to Jesus have a fire inside of you? You can let it out and you can burn. God is moving in the nations. Revival is a reality. Things are shaking. What lens will you look through? And what will be the words that come out of your mouth? Will you be a messenger of hope? Will you bring good reports? And will you speak life, even if no one else sees it? I've walked into groups of people. Oh my gosh, this was just so terrible and blah, blah, blah. And they're so negative. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say don't talk about things. But the heart attitude was just so bitter and so cynical and so not loving. And I walked in the room and I was like, man, I kind of like feel that too. You know, I'm like, meh. But it's in those moments we have a choice. God does not give us a spirit of fear. So clearly he brings something different. Clearly he brings faith and love. And I've walked into rooms and I'm growing in this. Yeah. I've walked into rooms and people are spitting out bitter cynicism and fears and just getting caught up in a swirl. And I'm like, Jesus, this is what they're saying, but tell me, what do you see? I see faith. By one sentence, you can change the entire atmosphere of a room you're in because you brought hope and love and life into a place where there was speaking death and fear. Are you with me? You actually, by the words that you speak, can speak life, encouragement, radical freedom, and hope in places where there is not. And you can change the course of people's life, their ways of thinking. You can actually lead them into encounter with Jesus because they don't have to actually think like that. Jesus died and rose again. You don't have to be cynical. You don't have to be bound in bitterness, gossip, and unforgiveness. You don't have to be afraid of people, groups, nations, or people that think differently than you. We don't have to. It's a choice. And Jesus died and rose again so that we could realize that identity in him and recognize that we can actually choose to live as he would walk. He is the perfect example. Amen? And so I want to encourage you with that is, man, God is moving. Revival is reality. We are all part of it. All of these teams, all these testimonies that I'm sharing with you, we as Harvest Assembly are going for it. And God is moving. Doubt your doubts. Don't be afraid. Fear not, as you hear that stated over and over again. But choose to know who Jesus is. Dive into it. Eat the Bible if you need to, okay? Just, you know, do whatever it is, but recognize there's freedom in Jesus. There is love in Jesus, all of those things. And we have hope. We have hope for the nations. And that is what we can bring. And that is what this world needs, is hope, not fear. What message are you bringing? Could you please stand with me for just a moment? That was just something on my heart I wanted to bring to you. It's something that has really been, God's been dealing with me about. I waited for translation, oops. We don't know everything that's coming in our lives. But we can choose faith. We can choose trust. And we can choose love. Why would you want something different? Why would you want a watered-down, second-best, hand-me-down gospel that's not real in your own life? I believe God is wanting to restore hope to some of you in this room. When I said the words, he made us alive, some of you were like, oh, he made us alive. God is wanting to bring a fresh awakening in some of our hearts. To remember who he is. To remember who you are because of who he is, and that you would walk and live a life worthy of the calling he's given you. And some of you, I feel it again, some of you in this room, God is calling you to the nations. Some of you in this room are going to be missionaries. Some of you are going to go places and you're not going to come back. Don't be afraid. I would rather be in the center of God's will than just doing my own thing. And I feel like somebody else needs to hear this is, you can have a good life or you can have the best life. Things can be set up for you well. You can go with your flow. But I feel like there's some people in this room, God's saying, do you want the good life or do you want the best life that I have for you? It'll cost you everything. But there's so much joy. Joy in Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much for my family here at Harvest. God, I thank you for the men and women who are in this room. I thank you for the revivalists, the prayer warriors, the evangelists, everyone who sits in this room, God, the serve everyone, God, who is so faithful to you. I thank you for this family in this house, God, and I thank you for all the prayers and everything that they've done, God, to see your name go into the nations and to see Jesus' name lifted high, to see the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering. God, I pray for all of us, God, that we would get a revelation of what it means that we are seated with you in heavenly places, that you paid the price, that you rose again, that you're far above, and you bring us to life, you give us your salvation, you make us alive, And we can live a life worthy, as it says in Ephesians 4, of the calling that you've given us. And that is joyful, and it is amazing, and it is the best life that we could ever have. But God, I pray for those of us in this room that any chains of fear would be broken in the name of Jesus. Any chains of doubt and insecurities or burdens that have been weighing on people, I just speak freedom in Jesus' name. That we would no longer be bound to something that has been holding us back, but that we would be men and women of faith. Women and men of faith and radical love. That we would not look at the nations in fear, but we would look at the nations in hope and expectancy. That we don't have to know everything, God, but we know what you did. And we see what you're doing. Would you keep doing what you're doing, God? And if there's anyone in this room that you're calling to the nations, Lord, I just pray that you would send and that people would go. And I pray for a minute, even just in the workplace, I just feel like some of you were like, how do I live seated at Christ in heavenly places with my environment and what I'm working? And I just feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, I am going to teach you. Acknowledge me. And I just reminded that verse, acknowledge him in all you do and he will make your path straight. A lot of you in this room who are struggling with what I just said, the Lord's saying, acknowledge me. Acknowledge me. Not the last thing you think about at night, but acknowledge me in the moment and I will teach you. I will teach you. Jesus is the best discipler. He will teach you. And he's going to bring freedom in this house in a deeper level, in a deeper way. So Lord, thank you for freedom. Thank you for joy. Thank you for hope. God, would you take us deeper? Would you give us crazy revelation of your love? That we would never be the same. But every day we wake up, the gospel is fresh to us every day. And we're thankful. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you rose again. Thank you for all that you did, Jesus. You are worthy of our worship forever because of that alone in and of itself. And then everything else is like cherry on a cake. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.